ॐ ध्यायामोदमलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरी शङ्करादिगुरुं प्रणम्य आरभते अनुशासनं लभते मोक्षं यस्य मतिः रमते निर्गुणब्रह्मणि अहं सदा ब्रह्मैव एतदनुसन्धानम् अपरोक्षानुभव सन्दायकम् अचिरा So we are discussing the first chapter of Anubhuti Prakasha, Prakashaha. So here we saw the first shloka. Vaitarena samprokta dvitiyaranyakartaga brahma vidhya suvispashtam bhala bodhaya tanyate. So we found there Vidyaranya saying, like kind of introducing the work and saying that whatever has been explained in Aitareya Upanishad, so that I am going to explain here. And what is the subject matter of Aitareya Upanishad? Brahma Vidya. And that Brahma Vidya I am going to reproduce or re-explain. So why re-explanation is required? Because Bala Bodhaya, in order for children or Madhyama Adhikaris, people who are not higher type of seekers, who are able to grasp things quickly. So people who are not that, for them I am going to explain this. And suvispashtam, very clearly, so with clarity, there won't be any doubts. So after saying that, Vidyaranya enters into the subject matter itself. So Brahma Vidya, so we find the Chandogya Upanishad, the Shveta Ketu Brahmana of the Chandogya Upanishad also following a very similar pattern. So explanation or like any analysis has to start either from the world or from that which has caused the world. So, or like we can say in a way, the cause of the world, or like the world itself, if we have to analyze, we will find that the world is anitya asukam, which means anitya asukaha asukam. So therefore, we have to seek something which is eternal, and that eternal entity is the entity which is the cause of this world, the substratum of this world. So that is the subject matter, or that is what is the main subject matter of Vedanta, or Vedanta begins with that. So it is when we try to analyze, when we try to understand that, or go towards that source, the source of Brahman, that will be able to gain Brahma Vidya. So why is that way? Because Brahman is that which is the source of this entire world. So yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayante abhisambishanti tad vijnyasasva tad brahmeti. So that from which the world has come, that in which the world resides, and that onto which the world merges at its time of destruction or after its destruction, know that to be Brahman. So that is how the scriptures start. So this analysis or this explanation of Brahman, that Brahman, we have to go to the source of the world. So we have to go to the source of the world in order to analyze or understand about Brahman. Brahma Vidya is about Brahman. So therefore we have to go to that one entity. So that one entity, if we have to analyze clearly, then we have to remove everything else that stands in the way or that obstructs that one entity to be perceived. So when we talk about like understanding, let's say, electrons. So if we want to understand electrons, then we have to remove everything that is not electron. And then what remains behind should be pure electron. Else like we can analyze. So analysis of people, analysis of a person in a group is not a proper analysis. So even a fool becomes a kind of a strong man if the gang is a gunda gang. In a rowdy gang, the weakest person also will feel very bold and very courageous. But if we have to really understand the nature of the person, then we have to separate each and every person, come to just that one person. That means remove everything else, come to that one. Then we will be able to find out whether the person is really courageous or bold or not. So that is what is being done, or that is what is being achieved in the Shastras by going to the source. So when we go to the source, we find that this world will not be present in the source before its own creation. That the world is created, there is no doubt, there is no question at all. So how can we say that the world was created? The world was created, we can definitely say, because the world constantly changes, the world will die, which itself means it is created. That which is subject to birth is subject to death. That which is subject to death is subject to birth. Which means that Brahman is subject to death. So we are not Brahman. The world is subject to death, which means that it also has a birth. If it has a birth, then before birth, it didn't really exist. So birth means something comes into existence. So Prag Abhavam. Previously it was not there, its non-existence was there, and then it comes into existence. So the previously or before creation, the world didn't exist in what? In Brahman. The world didn't exist in Brahman previously or before, and now the world appears as existing in Brahman. So therefore we have to go to the state where the world didn't exist in Brahman in order to analyze. So in that state, what all did exist? So Vidyaranya beautifully says, Atmaiva srishtehe pragasit namarupa vivarjitah sopi eka eva sahapi eka eva nanyo asti jadam cha nanyat vidyate jadam cha anyat na vidyate. So Vidyaranya says that Atma alone existed, srishte prag, before creation. Atma alone existed, nama rupa vivarjitah, devoid of nama rupa. Saha api eka eva, he is one alone. Na anyaha asti, there is nothing apart from, there was nothing apart from that Brahman. It eka eva, that alone exists. Jadam cha anyat na vidyate. Jadam cha, okay, Brahman alone exists as a sentient being. So there is only one sentient being. So even as a country can only have one ruler, or a kingdom can only have one king. So similarly, this entire world is ruled by the king of Brahman. But that doesn't mean that Brahman alone exists. There can be jada vastus. So insentient entities can exist. So anticipating that doubt, Vidyaranya says that jadam cha and jadam anyat jadam na vidyate. We can't find any jada vastus as well apart from this Brahman. Of course, this is all about before creation. So before creation, one self alone existed, devoid of nama rupa. So how can we really kind of understand this, or kind of support it with logic? So we can support this with logic. We can understand it very clearly if we understand what is creation. So what is creation? So there are different types of creation theories. So one is called Arambhavadam. Something new is created. Something entirely new is created. That's Arambhavadam. And then there is Parinamavadam. Something changes. So both these are not the case with Brahman. So why? Because when we try to analyze the world and Brahman, both are contrary in nature. So contrary in nature, Brahman is Ekam, one alone. There is no nothing other than Brahman, or let's say, like for now, there is nothing similar to Brahman. And the world is filled with duality of all sorts. Brahman is Nityam. Brahman is unchanging, whereas this world is Anityam. It constantly changes. Brahman is Ananda Swarupam. So Brahman is of the nature of Ananda. And what about this world? This world is Dukkamayam. So this world is Dukkha Swarupam, it is filled with sorrow continuously. So contrary, totally contrary in nature. So can such a world, a contrary world, come from Brahman? Definitely it's not possible. It's not possible, it's illogical. It's not at all possible. Therefore Vedanta says that this creation is just an illusion in Brahman. Oh no, 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 the world can create if it is newly created. So how can a newly creation can happen? For a new entity to be newly created, there has to be a material cause which is different from the efficient cause. So there are two causes for an effect. So for an effect of pot, the pot is an effect or a karya. So for that karya, there are two karanas. One is the efficient cause or the nimitta karana, which is the potter, and the other is the material cause, upadana karanam, that is mud. So mud gets converted into pot, becomes pot. So that means pot is newly created, we can say, and it is created out of an object different from potter. So in the same way, Brahman is there. There is a material cause which is not Brahman, and from that material cause the world has come. So if we say so, then that is not the case, because it is not supported by Shruti. Shruti says, Sadeva Saumeda Madriyasi Vekameva Advitiyam. One Brahman alone exists, there was nothing apart from that Brahman. So if that Brahman alone existed, there is no other entity to be the material cause. There is no other entity to be the material cause. So Arambhavada false. It cannot be true. Oh, let's say like Brahman himself changes. So that is what is called a Parinamavada. Oh, the material cause is also Brahman. If we say efficient cause is Brahman, material cause is also Brahman. Then the problem comes that Brahman changes into the world. Even as we can say the mud changes into pot, we can say that the common example, the very common example is milk becoming curd. So in Parinamavada, ideally, once the change happens, the change is not reversible. Mud becomes pot. When you break the pot, it again becomes mud. So in the case of milk getting converted to curd, curd cannot be made or converted back to milk. Okay, we may have technological means today to do that, but still it is not possible. It's not possible to convert directly from curd to milk. So that means it's not a reversible process, it is an irreversible process. So if that is the case, Brahman Parinama, Brahman changes into the world, which means that the world exists and Brahman ceases to exist. And when milk gets converted into curd, there is no milk at all, only curd exists. If Brahman becomes the world, then what happens? Brahman ceases to exist. So that means Brahman is not Nitya Vastu. If Brahman is not the Nitya Vastu, then our assumption that the world has a Nitya Adhishthanam, Nitya Karanam goes for a toss. So that means we have to go beyond Brahman to find another cause. This will become a kind of anavastha. It will become like infinite regression. It will go on and on and on. It will never end anywhere. So that means that we have to say that Brahman doesn't get converted or transformed into the world, which only leaves with one other option, that is Vivartavadam, or Brahman appears as the world. Again, Parinamavadam is also not valid because it is not supported by Shruti. Shruti doesn't say that Brahman becomes this world. Brahman is always there. So Brahman does not cease to exist after it created the world. So that means that Shruti also supports Vivartavadam. So what happens is Brahman appears as the world. The world we currently see, Brahman appears as that world. So the world is nothing but just an appearance in Brahman. So then like what is this creation? If it is appearance, then how does it appear different from Brahman? It appears different from Brahman because of names and forms, nama rupa. So even as mud becomes pot, when it becomes pot, mud gets a name called pot and a form, the form of the pot. So similarly, various gold ornaments are created out of gold. They are creations. So this world is also names and forms in Brahman. So then like, are names and forms real? Names and forms are not at all real. Then why do we get affected by names and forms? We get affected by names and forms when we think them to be real. When we forget the cause of Brahman, the underlying essence of Brahman, then we get affected. So we wear a gold ring, and all of a sudden one day the ring breaks. So then we become very sad and we take it to the goldsmith. The goldsmith is very happy. He is very happy, means he is not sad. And then he converts the gold, politely he talks with us. He assures us that he will make like another new ring, and then he gives us the ring. How is he able to remain unaffected? Oh, because it is not his gold. That is not the reason. Even for his own daughter's marriage, he would gift a ring. And then when the ring breaks, like, he will be happy to again create it again, because he knows that it is just a creation of names and form. Whatever is, there is gold alone. So therefore, he is able to remain blissful. In the same way, if we are able to remember that this entire world is names and forms in Brahman, that means Brahman alone exists, then will not be affected at all. So names and forms are creation. So that means before creation, what is there? Brahman alone, without any names and forms. Without names and forms, Brahman exists. So before creation, Atma eva asir, Atma alone existed, nama rupa vivarjitah, devoid of any names and forms. There was no names and forms, Brahman alone exists. And Sahapi Eka Eva is one alone. Eka Eva means here we can say Ekam Eva Advitiyam. Ekam Eva Advitiyam. So Ekaha Saha Ekaha Eva. He is one alone. How can we say one alone? Because there is nothing apart from him. The creation itself is from one Brahman. There is nothing apart from Brahman. If there is something different from Brahman, then we will come into Arambhavadam. But for Arambhavadam, like, it's not valid because Brahman alone exists. Shruti says that Brahman alone exists, and then like we also like can clearly know that Brahman alone existed once upon a time, because Brahman alone is sentient. The creation is what is different from Brahman, that creation is jadam. It is insentient. Insentient entities cannot exist of their own. They exist for a period of time when a sentient being sees them. When a sentient being says that this world exists, else they don't have any existence whatsoever. Which means that Brahman alone exists. Brahman alone exists. Eka eva. Nanyo asti. Nanyaha asti. There is nothing apart from this Brahman. There is nothing apart, nothing different from Brahman. So there is nothing different from Brahman. Then what about Jadavastus? Do Jadavastus exist? Jadavastus also are not there. Or were not there during that time. So now they appear as if they are. Earlier they were not there. So why earlier they were not there? It's kind of very simple, because Jada Vastus are this world. If the world was there before its own creation, then that means the world is not at all created. If the world is not at all created, that means it is eternal. If it is eternal, means Jada Vastu, it should not change. But it changes. Since it changes, it is not eternal. Since it is not eternal, then it has a creation. It is created. So since it is created, therefore before creation there was no Jadavastu. And what about Jadavastu now? Jadavastus now also, they don't exist. Why? Because creation is just an illusion of names and forms. That which is not there in the beginning and the end, that is not there in the middle also. Now it appears to be there. Is it really there? It is not at all there. It's not at all there. It is just Brahma. It is just a delusion that makes this insentient world appear as if real. Okay, Brahman alone existed, there was no Jada Vastu, then what about me? So was I there at that time or was I not there? It's kind of a stupid question, because I am always there, unchanging. So even atheists or people who don't believe in the Shastras, believe in God, they also believe in themselves. Vidyaranya says in Panchadashi that nobody wants to negate oneself or to say that I am asat, I am non-existent, unless they are in Brahma. Unless Bhranti, if there is a Bhranti, if there is a delusion, if they are mad, then they will say I don't exist. That's why Mahatma says, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa and all say, saying that Ishvara is not there is like saying with our own tongue that I am. I can't speak. So Vidyaranya also uses that analogy in the third chapter of Panchadashi. Like a person who says that asat is real, in a way he is saying that with his own tongue that I don't exist, or like I can't speak. So it is the same way. Though everything is readily available, still if people say that they don't know, then it is like that. It is kind of foolish. Only through Bhranti, person can say that I don't exist. So that means I always exist. So before creation, only Brahman existed. Only Brahman. And like I never experienced myself as non-existing. So which itself means that I am that Brahman. So we can negate Brahman. We can negate Vedanta. We can avoid each and everything in the world. But we cannot avoid ourselves. Oh, people are very sad. And when they are sad, they commit suicide. So doesn't that mean that they are killing themselves? They are not killing themselves. Why are they committing suicide? They are committing suicide because this temporary existence, they cannot bear. They are not sad for their, like lovers are not sad for their love, that they commit suicide. They are sad. They are sad. Because of their love, they are sad. My lover is sad. Because therefore I am sad. Therefore I commit suicide. That is why Yajnavalkya says that the wife, the husband is loved for the sake of the self, not for the sake of the husband. The husband is not loved for the sake of the husband. That love is like love, what we say, like I love you so much, so I am committing suicide. It's not love for the other person, it is love for oneself. I can't bear the sorrow, therefore I commit suicide. It's not that like I want to solve other person's problem. It is just a delusion. And it is just a mask of saying that I am committing suicide because of you. I am committing suicide because of you. Because of you, I am sad. Therefore, I commit suicide. So, what is the real reason for suicide? My own sorrow. So, my own sorrow. So, that means even committing suicide, not everywhere, it is about oneself. And this oneself cannot be negated at all. So, suicide is also just termination of this body. It's not termination of the self. It is not termination of a person, the sentient being. The sentient being continues again in the next birth. Vasam sijirnani yata vihaya navani grihnati naroparani tata sharirani vihaya jirnani anyani samyami samyati navami dehi. Sorry. So a person, even as a person gets rid of one old cloth or dress and then takes up a new dress, in the same way the self renounces this body. Renounces this body or drops off this body and takes up a new body. So suicide is not termination of existence. It is changing of the attributes of existence. What we call as attributes of existence, which is the body, the individuality and all. But all these individuality, do they affect me? Definitely no, because from day one, the body is constantly changing. Nobody wants to say, I just want to be a child. When they say, I want to be a child, because they want to remain without any problems. So at any age, a person wants to remain without problems. So therefore, people say, I want to be young. It's not that they really want to be young. They want to be without problems, and young youth is a time when problems are less, responsibilities are less. Therefore, they say that. So a person exists at all times and he loves his own existence. So which this existence which is ever there, this existence is Brahman. So as Advaita Makaranda says, Lakshmidara says in Advaita Makaranda, Swaham asmi sadabhami kadachitnaham apriyah brahmaivaham atasriddham sachidananda lakshanam. So aham asmi, I always exist. Sadabhami, I ever shine. I am conscious in nature and never am I hated. So therefore I am Brahman of the nature of Sachidananda. So Brahman is Sachidananda in nature, I am Sachidananda in nature. There cannot be two entities of the same nature. So which means that I am Brahman. So can't there be two entities which are, like there is fire in a stove and there is fire that is lit outside in a, or like in outside, just outside the house in a lamp. So those fires are different. Those fires are different. So similarly, can't there be two entities of the nature of Sachidanandam? Definitely no. So it definitely no. Agnir yate eko bhuvanam pratishto rupam rupam pratirupo bhuva ekastata sarvabhutantaratma rupam rupam pratirupo bahish. So Agni is one alone. But when it gets into this world, so as a result of the upadhi, it takes different forms. Rupam, rupam, pratirupo, babuva. It becomes various forms. In a stove, a particular form. In a lamp, another form. Like in somewhere else, there is another form. But Agni or fire is one alone. Similarly, Brahman is one alone. But due to the upadis, it appears as different. When due to the upadis of body, mind, etc., Brahman appears to be different. Conscious Brahman appears to be different. There is no two Brahman. There are no two consciousness. There is only one Brahman. And that Brahman I am. So I am that Brahman. So when a person remembers that I am that Brahman which alone existed before creation, there is nothing Jadam or either Chaitanyam or Jadam apart from Brahman. Sa eka, so api eka eva. Saha api ekaha eva. He is one alone at all times. Nanyu asti, nanyah asti. Jadam cha anyat na vidyate. There is no Jadam or Chaitanyam apart from this one Brahman. So this is the ultimate truth. So if before creation that is the state, after creation also it is the same state, because before creation and after creation are like a cycle, coming back to the same point. So creation is a person walking from his house and going to a destination. Destruction is the person coming back to his home. So which means that after, before creation and after destruction, it is the same thing. And what about creation? Creation just temporarily appears to be real. It appears to be real. It appears to be different from Brahman. It is not different. It is the same as Brahman. Brahman alone exists here. So before creation, Brahman alone exists. After creation also, Brahman alone exists. There is no other entity. There cannot be any entity other than Brahman proven. So gata kudhyadikam sarvam mrittika matramevahi. Tadvad Brahma Jagat Sarvam Iti Vedanta Nindimaha. So Gadam Kudhyam, like everything that we can find under the sun, everything that is there under the sun, all of those are Brahman alone. So because Gadam Kudhyam and all those are part alone. So even as all of them are part alone, similarly this entire world is one Brahman alone. If we remember this truth, this essence of Vedanta, then Vedanta is done with that. So anena vedyam sat shastram. With just by knowing this, that one Brahman alone exists, Brahma satyam jagan mithya evo brahmevana paraha, Brahman alone exists, this entire world is just an illusion. If we are able to remember this, then that is moksha, that will give us ananda here and now itself. So may Amma bless us so that through this beautiful shloka we'll be able to remember the ultimate truth that Brahman alone exists here, and thereby our life will become blissful here and now itself. We'll continue next week. Inshallah.